Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Mokali Matthew, I am of course William Memo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Busy Saturday. Glad to have you on the show.
Glad to be on.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming on, tuning in to this episode. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the Knicks forming Nicanova over here. You know, they're forming Villanova with the Knicks. I mean, the past couple of years, they've been forming the Kentucky Wildcat with the Knicks, but now they're forming Villanova with the Knicks. So now they're Nicanova now. So they'll talk about that, talk about CM Punk versus Samoa Joe on Collision Course. This is the first time these two wrestling legends went toe-to-toe since 18 years ago. So that was a momentous match for the Owen Hart tournament. We'll get into that. We'll talk about the Mets and the Yankees as they approach the All-Star break and, you know, the selections. We'll talk about that. And whatever else is on our mind, you know, most importantly, you know, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. Feel free to talk, you know, about any of these topics or more. We'd love to hear from you. Yeah, I guess before we dive into the Knicks big signing, the bigger news sports-wise was the Victor Wembanyama, you know, story that involved Britney Spears. You know, on this show, we talk sports, entertainment, everything else. And, yeah, this story definitely has a life of its own. It's definitely sports and entertainment-oriented. Crazy story. Basically, in case you didn't know, Britney Spears, you know, longtime pop singer, she apparently went up to Victor Wembanyama, you know, however you pronounce his name.
For, Wembanyama, yeah.
Wembanyama, however you want to say it, Wembanyama. When his back was turned, she tapped on him, and, you know, unfortunately, his security guard, you know, slapped her, and she fell down, you know. My take is, I mean, obviously, you know, it was an accident, but, yeah, I mean, you know, the guy shouldn't have, the guard should have been careful, you know, not to hit her. I mean, obviously, he was doing his job to protect Wembanyama from, you know, any person popping up on him, because, you know, he didn't know who it was. The person could have tried to do something bad to him. And, you know, my take is, you know, Britney Spears, she's been, you know, a star for practically her entire life, from, you know, the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, whatever the heck they call the show again, the Mickey Mouse Club. It wasn't Mickey Mouse Clubhouse?
Yeah, I think it was Mickey Mouse Club, something like that.
Yeah, because they used to have a one in the 50s, and they revamped it, you know, with her. Christina Aguilera.
Christina Aguilera, yeah.
I don't know who. What's his name again? Ryan Gosling, was he on that show too?
Ryan Gosling, yep.
Yeah, like, yeah, so she was a childhood star. You know, she's been in the limelight for a long time, you know. I mean, I think she should have known not to just sneak up on somebody to tap them, but I guess she felt, you know, she's famous, you know, he should know who she was. I don't know if she was in disguise or whatnot. And, you know, that's what happened, unfortunately for her. I mean,
Mickey Mouse Club, that's what it was.
Oh, Mickey
called.
Mouse Club, okay.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is the kitty show that they had a few years ago. The animated series one.
Yeah.
So it's Mickey, all right, Mickey Mouse Club. There you go. But yeah, I mean, it's just a crazy story. I mean, this is like the second time she approached a celebrity and she didn't get recognized. Like she one time she approached like several years ago she approached Ed O'Neill, you know, the guy who played Al Bundy from Married with Children. And you know, he took a photo of her, but he didn't know it was her, you know. But
yeah, Britney Spears should know better because, you know, as someone who's in the limelight and you're mm-hmm. constantly, you know, being harassed by paparazzi and you have fans, you know, wherever you go asking for autographs or saying things to you, she should know better. And, you know, right now, Victor Wembanyama, he's the biggest name in the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm. And he hasn't even played a game yet.
He hasn't even played a regular season game yet. And, you know, right now, you know, he's all over the place. And his security's tight right now. And his security informed him that don't stop for autographs or mm-hmm. take pictures in public because it's going to cause a huge crowd. And who knows what can happen after a crowd builds up. So that's why he couldn't stop. And Britney mm-hmm. decided to chase him down and tap him on the shoulder. And that's when the security stepped in and brushed her hand aside. And then she ended up hitting her own self with her hand. And then she decided to call police. And police investigated and found that there were no, you know, it was accidental that hit. So they're not going to press charges. But
why couldn't she wait? Why? I mean, I'm sure she could enter any club, enter any restaurant or wherever she wanted to go. Why couldn't she just wait? Why couldn't she just wait to go inside when he went inside? When he went,
I think they were leaving. I think they were leaving the restaurant probably.
Oh.
Well, this will look like they're outside.
No, I know they were definitely outside for sure. But I didn't know if they were coming into the restaurant or wherever or coming out. I didn't know the whole details about that. But yeah, it's this was an avoidable thing. Like, I mean, she should have known better. You know, knowing that she's been like you said, she's been in the limelight. You know, we basically have been saying this the whole time. She's been a celebrity practically her whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was the other way around, you know, it wouldn't have been acceptable. You know, a man can't just go up tapping a woman on the shoulder just because he's a quote-unquote fan of hers, you know. That's not kosher. Like, if Wembanyama tapped her on the one of her tapped her on the shoulder from behind, and let's say she didn't, you know, she didn't know. He couldn't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think this story is kind of blown out of proportion, you know.
Now you have Britney Spears fans. They're posting memes and making fun of Victor, and they plan on going to games and harassing him. I mean, Britney needs to tell her fan base to chill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a messed up situation because now he's tainted by what his guard did, you know. You tell the guard to slap her, you know. And I mean, you know what I mean? Like, and the guard didn't know who the person was, you know, he was trying to defend the person. I mean, obviously he should have been careful not to hit a woman, you know, but yeah, it's a crazy story. But you know, it's a good thing Britney is okay, you know, but
yeah, good thing that she's not okay, you know. I hope after she learns her lesson not to chase people down and tap them on their shoulders. She'll know better next time.
Why don't she just go up to the security guard and ask if she could have did that?
Well, that would have been a good idea. Or maybe arrange something afterwards, have her people call his people.
Yeah, I mean, they have connections. I mean, like, I heard he found out the day afterwards that was her.
Yeah, he didn't even know what was going on.
Someone tells me this won't be the end of the story. They'll probably pop up and do an interview together, or she invite him to one of her Vegas shows if she's still doing it.
If she's coherent.
Say what?
If she's coherent.
if she's still a fan of his, you never know. I mean, because, you know, that's what everybody was saying. You know, she was, you know, tapping on the shoulder because she's a fan of his. But he hasn't even played, he didn't even play NCAA. Unless she was watching, you know, she was watching international basketball games. I mean, other than him just being signed number one, I mean, you know, there wouldn't be a logical fan reason for why she tapped him on the shoulder. But I mean, it is what it is. So, you know, hopefully she's okay. Hopefully she's not, you know, I assume she's not seriously hurt from it. Maybe it's just her, you know, ego, you know, of, you know, being hurt, you know, hit, you know, unexpectedly. So, you know, I hope everything works out for them. But shifting gears, let's talk Knicks basketball. The Knicks, they made a good sign-in. They signed Dante DiVincenzo. And, you know, this guy, you know, it's a good signing, a solid backup guy. You know, basically you're getting Josh Hart 2.0. You know, they were former players with Brunson and Villanova. You know, they won a title together. I think Brunson won two titles over there, you know, during his time in Villanova. But, yeah, those guys, you know, they have chemistry with each other. You know, I think it's a great signing that those guys are reunited. I think it's a great thing. But, yeah, the Knicks, they still need to be on the hunt for a superstar player. I mean, I don't like – again, we talked about this last week when, you know, the rumors of Toppin was getting traded, you know, was pretty close to being done, but, yeah, now it's official. And I don't like this trade at all. I mean, it's – you know, you're basically getting two draft picks. They should have drafted Halliburton when they had the chance. And now Halliburton is playing with Obi Toppin. Like this is another bad draft that we've had in recent years. You know what I mean? Like, I like Toppin, but they never played him. So he showed some flashes of his potential, but Thibodeau never played him, really played him, except when Randall was hurt, you know, last year. It's just
let me tell
up,
you
man.
Something, brother. Let me tell you something about this
Go
trade.
Go Hulk, Mac.
Let me tell you something. The Knicks are idiotic. Obi Toppin was one of my favorite players, if not my favorite player on the Knicks.
Me too.
These past few
Tell
seasons.
Him. Tell him.
And this guy brought energy to this team.
Yep.
His dunking ability, the way he can run down the court. I mean, sure, there's, you know, as I've been saying, he does need to work on his post game. That's the one thing that he needs to improve upon. But when he was in the starting lineup, when Randall was out, he was contributing. Yeah, he scored you know, up to 20 points a game.
Yeah, like 40. You know, there was a game he had like 40, 42 points, and the other game after that he had like 30-something points. Like, he was doing his thing. And
yeah,
I think he grew up a Knicks fan. Like,
yeah.
Like this guy played with his heart, his emotions, man. Like, you just traded him away like he was nothing, man. Like, this is another wasted pick. They wasted a pick on what's his name, Kevin Knox. They wasted a pick on Toppin. Now, I mean, I like the pick, but the problem is they traded him away for nothing. Two measly second round picks. I think one of the picks is like 2029 or something like that. It's like, this is a waste of, this was a waste, two wasted drafts.
Because those rumors that Toppin was unhappy with his role, you know, and rightfully so, because,
yeah, of course,
you know, he needed more playing time, you know, to show what he can do. And, you know, Thibodeau doesn't like playing young guys like that for some reason. But
they signed his younger brother, Jacob Toppin. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's very, very strange. series of events that happened with that whole thing. But, yeah, man, Toppin, he had potential. He definitely had potential. I loved his energy. I loved his athleticism. And I thought, you know, he could be a Knick for life.
Yep.
But Knicks ruined it, man, as usual.
They ruined it. Yep, they dropped the ball. They turned the ball over like Randall on the clutch.
Yeah, I don't get it. And Thibodeau, if Thibodeau doesn't do something with the Knicks this year, if they don't go further than the second round, he needs to go. I'm sorry.
Hey, man. I
recommend
the
coach, but
yeah,
you know, the moves
fan.
Last year were questionable,
yeah.
Especially in the postseason.
Right. I've been a Thibodeau fan for the longest time. Like, I wanted this guy to be the Knicks head coach for the longest time, you know. Even before he went to Minnesota, you know, when he was with the Chicago. But yeah, man, he doesn't play the young guys, and because of this, because of him not playing the young guys, this led to Toppin getting traded. And to be honest with you, I think this is gonna haunt us. Toppin might eventually be an All Star, a one time All Star maybe.
Yeah, hey, very possible.
Maybe two or three times. But this guy, like, y'all wasting him. Y'all did not develop him at all.
Yeah,
like
I
you still don't even know what you have in him, and you just traded him away. I feel the same way. Like when the Mets let go Justin Turner and Daniel Murphy, they let them go for nothing in free agency. I literally said that, like, this was a mistake. That these guys would be all-stars. And sure enough, both of them became all-stars. Turner became an all-star with the team he grew up rooting for, the Dodgers, and ended up winning a championship with them.
And Turner,
of course,
became Team Wolf.
Yeah, exactly. and of course, Murphy. He had that great postseason in 2015. They let him go, and then, you know, he became an all-star, and, you know, he had a great season. Like, you know, and oh yeah, now that I think about it, he came back. He signed with the Angels. The Mets could have signed him too. They could have signed him back, because especially with the DH, like the guy could hit. The guy could still hit. Like, why? Like, that was the problem with him. You know, he wasn't good defensively. But now you got the DH, and the Mets have a DH problem. Vogelbach has been playing better lately. He's finally playing the way that we expected him to play ever since last year. But you could have signed Murphy. You could have had another bat in the lineup. But they dropped the ball on that one. That's why, to me, is like Tom Thibodeau. Billy Epler, man, he's so overrated, man. The best thing he did was being the assistant GM under Brian Cashman. That's the only good thing he's done. As a GM with the Angels, he's suspect. And with the Mets, he's suspect. I from day one, I never liked the signing of Billy Epler being signed. You know what I mean? Because I wanted somebody more proven, like Theo Epstein or David Stern, which, you know, he might be available after the season's over. The Mets might sign him as a potential president of baseball operations. But I never liked the Billy Epler signing. To me, it was like kind of like the, you know, hiring Mickey Callaway or Luis Soho. Like, no, is that his name? No, Luis Rojas. Like, and yes, Epler has more experience than both of those guys did, you know, because Epler did briefly manage the Angels. But he don't have the track record. He don't have no postseason track record or postseason success prior to, other than being the assistant GM of the Yankees, you know, when they won the title that year, 2011. No, 2009, I mean, my bad. I mean, other than that, like, as a GM, he doesn't have any success. Like I said, the only success he had was as an assistant GM under the Yankees, under Cashman with the Yankees. But other than that, as a GM, he hasn't had any success. Last year was literally the first time he went to the playoffs as a GM, and they didn't do nothing. They got their butt kicked by the very same team we're losing to right now, 3-0, as the game's going on right now in the sixth. You know, like, it's just messed up, man. I don't even know what to say right now.
Yep.
They blew it. They literally blew it with Toppin. I hope they're happy with them with themselves, because this was a dumb move. You're literally trading him to the guy that you should have drafted instead of him. If you weren't going to use him, you should have drafted Halliburton.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it at
all.
They might regret this.
And wasn't Kevin Knox the same draft when they could have got Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah.
The Knicks just keep doing the same. And then they could have drafted Ron Artest, but no, they drafted Frederick Weiss. Like, I mean, it just proves to you, man, the Knicks, man. When we draft a French supposedly star, center star, and Weiss, he's a bust. And then, but the Spurs, they draft Victor Wembanyama. You know, like, we can never catch a break. After we drafted Ewing, we just can't catch a break. And we still can't even win a title, thanks to Jordan. I'm speechless, man.
It's ridiculous.
It is what it is, man. We've been doing this from 2009, man, and nothing's changed except for the calendar year. Same stuff, man. And another thing is, if we help trade Damian Lillard to the Heat, and we could get Tyler Hero, which, I mean, Tyler Hero is a clutch player. Don't get me wrong, but if you're gonna help the Heat get Damian Lillard, you might as well just fold up tent and just kiss their rings, because we ain't touching the Heat. Heat is the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. If you help them get the Heat, if you help Lillard go to the Heat, you might as well just kiss Pat Riley on the cheek and say congratulations on winning another title down there when you couldn't help the Knicks win a title.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Unbelievable. We have Pat Riley, arguably one of the greatest coaches, head coaches of all time, who I do think is better than Phil Jackson, even though Phil Jackson has maybe, I don't know, six more titles than he does probably. I lost count. But, yeah, man, Pat Riley went every place he went. Lakers, Showtime Lakers, won titles with them. Come to the Knicks, can't win a title, go to the Heat, and they win three. So far. But once they get Lillard, man, it's a wrap, man.
It's ridiculous.
It's a wrap.
It's ridiculous.
This team's going to be even dangerous than the LeBron James, Dwayne Wade teams if they get Damian Lillard. That's unbelievable, man. You're gonna trade him to a league, a conference rival? That'd be stupid. You might as well trade him within the division. You might as well allow him to go come into the trade to the Nets or the Celtics or 76ers or somebody like that. And that's why people think, oh, Embiid is coming. Man, they're not gonna trade him to the Knicks. Or Jaylen Brown,
nope,
from the Celtics to us. Like, come on, nobody's helping us. Nope, nobody's helping us. We have to help ourselves. We gotta draft better, and sign some of these. Get a superstar who has some, you know, jewels, and come on, that can handle the pressure and change the culture. That's it. That's what we could do. In the meanwhile, we have to build a solid nucleus around these players. Problem is, we don't even know if RJ Barrett's going to be in this trade. I mean, if RJ Barrett's going to be in the trade, or if they're going to trade him for OG Anunoby. I mean, we might as well get Obi-Wan Kenobi at this rate. I mean, we need a new hope. We need a new hope. We traded away Obi. Help us, Obi-Wan Toppin. You're our only hope, and we traded him away. Like, What are we gonna do, man? Like, until we get a superstar player, or we wait until Donovan Mitchell becomes a free agent. I don't know what we're gonna do. As long as we don't mess up the cap, our cap space. I mean, that's all I can say.
Yep, nothing else to say about the Knicks, you know, same old story.
Same old story, man. It's, I mean, what can we say, man? Yeah, that's all I can say about that.
Toppin comes back to the Garden and drops 40.
I don't think you have to hope. I think that's a given. It's a given. I'm telling you right now. What is it? July 8th, 2023? Save this on tape, ladies and gentlemen. Obi Toppin's going to come in the Garden and score like 30 to 35 points on us. Minimum. He's coming to score points on us. It's going to happen. And he's going to draw, he's going to be talking trash to Thibodeau. I see it. I see it right now. That's exactly what's going to happen. And we're going to lose the game, of course. Julius Randle's going to do a turnover. We're probably going to lose by three or a point or whatever. I don't even know what day the Pacers is coming to the Garden, but you could write it down. And that's what's going to happen. I don't even know if R.J. Barrett's going to even be on this team. And if we're gonna trade R.J. Barrett, we might as well have traded him in the Donovan Mitchell trade then. Because anybody else we're going to get in this trade, I don't think it's going to be better than Donovan Mitchell. And besides, nobody else want to come here. Paul George was willing to come here if we gave him a massive contract, and he's an injury-prone dude. That's the only reason why he would come here. So, unless we keep doing it the smart way and not waste our money on mediocre players, you know, that don't help the team, we should have the cap space to get somebody in the future. Plus, we supposedly have all this draft capital, all these picks, and you just wasted Toppin. Toppin could have been an asset for you to trade away, but instead you trade him for two second round picks, not even a first round pick or two first round picks. You trade him away for two random second round picks. Like, are you kidding me? My goodness, man.
Yeah,
like,
I don't get it.
I don't know, man.
I wonder who's worse at which organization makes the worst decisions, the Knicks or the Mets?
The Mets.
New York Mets.
Oh, New York Mets, yeah. And luckily, I guess the moral of the story, kids, don't root for teams that wear orange and blue. They'll break your heart. Trust me, I know. Believe me. Yeah, man. Like, being a Mets fan, especially a Mets fan, man, like, there's no escapism. You watch TV shows, they talk smack on the Mets. You watch cartoons, even like for example, Family Guy, sitcoms, Married with Children, like all these shows, they all talk smack on the Mets. Like, it's like a timeless thing to talk smack on the Mets. Like, you can't escape. The only way you can escape a horrible Met loss is just to shut off the TV and to shut off the radio and just pretend like the game didn't happen, which I'm very familiar with that, might I add. But it is what it is, man. Like, I mean, to the Mets' credit, they've been playing better. They won six in a row, which ties their...
You guys have won six in a row?
Yeah, they won six in a row.
Get out of town.
They turned it around, but right now they're losing 3-0 to the Padres, the team that knocked them out. And ironically, they're going to be facing Joe Musgrove tomorrow when he opposes Max Scherzer. To end the All-Star break. So, yeah, both teams are basically they were picked to be the favorites to go to the National League, you know, to be National League champions or potential World Series champions. And they both are underwhelming, but they both have been playing better of late. Oh my goodness. And Lindor just made an error right now as we're speaking. But, yeah, both teams are playing better. But, yeah, they're both teams are like five games under 500, you know. And, yeah, the Mets, they're not going to catch the Braves. Yeah, they're like, I don't know, 16 games back or at least. I lost track, you know. But, yeah, the Mets' only hope And, you know, the Mets, you know, they're a team historically known for coming back. You know, never they never say die attitude. You got to believe, exemplified 50 years ago, 73. Obviously, you know, coming back, you know, in the Red Sox series in 86. The Miracle Mets of 69, you know, obviously, you know, they were always a horrible team, but just them winning 100 games was a miracle within itself, even though they had great pitching and timely hitting. But, yeah, the Mets organization have been known to do the impossible, you know. But, you know, they ain't catching the Braves in this division.
And yeah, they Braves just have been unstoppable, man.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we were in the bar, and I think I saw a graphic where they were 21-4 last month. Something
yeah,
like that, or they won 21 of the last 25 games?
Yeah, the Mets are so far undefeated in July, but they got their work cut out for them. They're in the bottom of the six, one on, nobody out, and they're losing 3-0. So Peterson's on the mound as we speak. Hopefully they can – the offense can spark late like they did the past couple of games in a row, like these last two games in a row. But we shall see. Congratulations to the Mets. They have Pete Alonso. He's going to his third or fourth All-Star game.
Congrats.
And it just was announced today that Kodai Senga is going to make his in his rookie year. He's making his first All-Star game appearance because Stroman decided not to play in the All-Star game so he could rest himself. So, congrats to Kodai Senga.
Congrats.
He's a rookie, and he's played in several All-Star games in Japan. And in his rookie season, he's an All-Star. To me, the biggest omission is Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor. I think those two guys should have made the All-Star as well. I mean, Robertson was great too. I think he should have made it also, but I think Nimmo and Lindor should have been easily All-Stars. But it is what it is, man. We're not the Yankees. We can't have, you know, 18 players from our one team going to the All-Star game. So, no, it is what it is. So we'll see what happened with that. Speaking of the Yankees, you know, they won. I think it was 6-3.
6-3, yep. John Carlson had a 3-run home run.
Two home runs. A guy who's no stranger to All-Star games himself.
Yeah, he's been struggling a bit this year so far,
mm-hmm.
especially since he come back from the injury.
And what's his name? Aaron Judge. He's going to miss the All-Star game due to an ear injury. So.
Yeah, he hurt his toe a month ago, and he's still out right now. Although he's been hitting, but he doesn't know if he can run yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what his timetable looks like. Maybe he comes back after the All-Star break.
What's your thoughts on Rodon finally making his debut on Friday night?
It'll be nice because our starting pitching, man, we've been relying heavily on Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole has been sensational this year. I mean, the guy has been 9-2 entering today with I think he has under 3 ERA, something like 2.8. The guy that's been carrying our whole pitching staff in
as
games that he pitched, we're 14-5 in his starts. That's
mm-hmm.
good for 73%, 73% winning percentage. And I think that's tied for the most wins for actually, that's second amongst pitchers this year for team wins. So he's the only guy right now that's performing on our pitching staff. Severino has been very inconsistent. He's been in his butt whoop lately. We miss Rondon. Hopefully he pitches well in his debut. Can't wait to see, you know, what he does. But, yeah, that will be a big boost to our pitching staff because
he debuted yesterday.
Right. But hopefully he'll give our team a boost. I didn't see the game yesterday, by the way, so I kind of missed that. but they ended up losing to the Cubs 3-0 in that game. But hopefully going forward, you know, him and Cole could be a 1-2 punch. And other than that, I mean, you got to hope Severino, you got to hope that he pitches better. And I know what's his name had a perfect game the other night. Forget his name now.
Herman.
Herman. He's inconsistent, so he needs to show that. He needs to show more of that, you know, during his starts. So we'll see. You know, we'll see how this pitching fares after the All-Star break. And hopefully the Yankees will look like a different team when they come back from the All-Star break as well, because this year has been up and down so far.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of no-hitters, congratulations to Matt Manning and the two relievers.
To Eli Manning.
Right. And relievers Jason Foley, no relation to Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Lang, the closer, they all combined to throw a three-person no-hitter. So, you know, congrats to the Detroit Tigers. This was the first no-hitter since Verlander threw one, you know, many years ago. So, you know, congrats to them. And, you know, Pete Alonso, he's going to try to win his third home run derby after failing to do so last year. And he's going to try to do it with three different pitching, people who's throwing the ball, three different pitchers, I guess you could say. And he's doing it in Safeco Field, which was the place where Ken Griffey Jr., you know, dominated the home run derby. So he's going to try to match Griffey and win three. So good luck to him. To be honest with you, I wish he would have not played in the home run derby because I don't want him to get hurt. You know, I think he should save it for the real game. But, you know, Pete Alonso loves it, you know.
Yeah.
As much as I loved seeing him do it, you know, I think the first 2 years, I think ever since last year, I'm like, you know, he should just, you know.
Didn't he win it already?
Yeah, he won the first two he tried. And
yeah,
then,
so he wants to do it again?
Yeah, he loves it. He tried. Last year was the first time he lost it. Now he's gonna. Now this is what
he wants to be like the Nate Robinson of the home run derby.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he wants to do. That's exactly what it is. But yeah, let's shift gear to. Okay, let's talk about AEW. Basically, tonight they had CM Punk go one-on-one with Samoa Joe. I think the last time they fought each other was like 18 years ago with the Ring of Honor. And all those other times they fought each other, Samoa Joe always beat them. But tonight was a different story. CM Punk, you know, he beat him with a, you know, roll-up. Schoolboy pin for the victory, and then, you know, Samoa Joe, after losing the Owen Hart tournament, CM Punk, Samoa Joe was going to offer his hand, you know, to be a good sport, even though CM Punk defeated him to advance to the Owen Hart tournament finals to face Absolute Ricky Stark. Because Ricky Starks defeated his former Team Taz member, Powerhouse Hobbs, in his semifinal. So when CM Punk accepted Samoa Joe's, you know, good sportsmanship handshake, right afterwards, maybe a few seconds later, Samoa Joe showed his true colors and put him in the coquina clutch, you know, his sleeper hold. And, you know, if FDR didn't come and interfere, Samoa Joe was going to hit CM Punk with a chair. And of course, Samoa Joe, he's been on a rampage, You know, he attacked Roderick Strong last week. Yeah, it should be an interesting finals. It's going to be absolute Ricky Starks versus CM Punk to determine who's going to be the winner of the Owen Hart tournament.
I like how AEW paying tribute to Owen Hart by having this tournament. It's a great idea. It's something that WWE should have did years ago.
They should have, but they
I know
they have
whole dispute going on with his wife and family, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, because she claims that that they sued her after her husband died. So, you know, they claim she didn't give them, you know, rights to you know, induct them, and she claims that the reason why she didn't give them the right to you know, induct them into the Hall of Fame is because they sued her right after he died. So, yeah, there's a lot of blood between both the WWE and her. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, that's a, you know, a consolation prize. At least the fans, thanks to AEW, the fans have a way to honor and show their thanks and appreciation to, you know, all the things that Owen Hart did as a wrestler.
Yeah, definitely one of my favorite wrestlers growing up, I think the best moment, the reason that we have the tournament, not only because Owen Hart was you know, remembered as a great technical wrestler and one of the best wrestlers that we've ever seen, but you know, King of the Ring, that was like his come out party. King of the Ring 94, that's one of my favorite King of the Rings as well. Wore the neon uniform and, you know, beat Tatanka, 1-2-3 Kid, and Razor Ramon in that final of the King of the Ring. Mm-hmm. And that was his defining moment right there, that tournament.
Right.
And so to have this tournament, for AEW to have this tournament in his honor, yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah,
continue for years to come.
Absolutely. To honor a guy who didn't even wrestle for your company, shows what a huge wrestling fan Tony Khan is.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, the new AEW Fight Forever game, it recently came out, and you can play as Owen Hart.
Wow, that's great.
That's the first game you could play as Owen Hart since that WWF Attitude game from, like, I don't know, 1998 or so. So, you know. Yeah, I haven't played it, but it looks fun. And it's made from the same people who made WWF No Mercy, the iconic N64 game that fans have been begging for decades for it to be remade. So this is the closest thing us wrestling fans have to having that game, you know, I think Alvarez just went deep again. But it's a solo shot. The Mets are still trailing 3-1, but the Mets are on the board. Francisco Alvarez with his 17th home run as a young catcher, a rookie catcher, might I add. 17 home runs, but yet not an all-star in the seventh. Yeah, the last series, Alvarez homered in all three games. I'm trying to remember which team it was against. I'm trying to think. The D-backs. Yeah, the D-backs, man. Like, for like the last about 20 years, almost 20 years or so, every time we go on the West Coast, the Diamondbacks are always in first place, and we're the team that always knocks them off and send them on a spiral attempt. You know, hey, imagine if we were in the playoffs against the D-backs, you know, in 2001. You know, we could have helped you guys. But, oh, wait, we did beat them we did knock them out of the playoffs in 99 with your boy Showalter as the manager. So, you know, we got a little history success, you know, against the D-backs, kind of like we have against the Astros, unlike, you know, another New York team I know.
Yeah, always reliving the past, right? Living in the past again.
Hey, that's what we do at Sports Urban Legend, man. We talk, you know, sports past and the present and the future. So, you know, it's appropriate,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, yeah. you love the D-backs. I see there.
Only in 2001, and I guess in 99, you know. So yeah, I guess those are the only 2 years I liked them. Especially 2001, you know. No, they got the receipt for us. So
yeah, you should like the game that's going on right now between the Mets and Padres. That looks like an interesting game.
Yeah, I mean, Alvarez, you know, homer with down 3-1. Marte has been in a slump. He's been hitting to double plays lately, but fortunately for him, you know, the bases isn't loaded and there's nobody on base, so he won't be able to hit into double play this time. But yeah, we shall see what happens with that. Yeah, so I guess we'll shift to WWE. They had the trial. With the Usos, you know, putting Roman Reigns to trial for the crimes he did against them, betraying the family, being money hungry, and you know, Roman Reigns apologized to Jay. He even gave him his ceremonial tribal, I think they call it LA, the thing he put on around his neck. He put it on his neck, and, you know, he's going to give him the title, and then he low-blowed him. Oh, by the way, it happened to MSG. What was I going to say? I'm trying to remember his name. LA Knight, you know, he got another standing ovation from the MSG crowd. He took out practically the entire members of the hit role. I mean, yeah, LA Knight is definitely, you know, he's definitely inspired by Rock and Stone Cold for sure. I mean, he got like this people elbow kind of move. His finisher move is like a modified Stone Cold Stunner, except it's more like a takedown move instead of a complete stunner. And of course, you know, he sounds like a mix of both of them.
I found out today that LA Knight was once roommates with Don with Moxley.
Yeah, I found that out a few days ago too. He knew him. I don't know. Yeah.
So imagine if they were tag teams.
Hey, for all we know, they could be. I don't know. Apparently, he was in WWE a decade ago too.
Yeah, I remember.
And then he got released, and then he went to TNA and became you know, a champion.
Yep.
Under Eli Drake. And you know, he's been back, and he's been dominating. You know, he should have won the Money in the Bank, but you know, Damian Priest, you know, he's doing his thing, you know, after winning the thing. So yeah, there's definitely the intrigue with the possible splinter of the Judgment Day. It looks like Finn Balor's gonna get kicked out of this group, just like they kicked out Edge. And speaking of Edge, he defeated Grayson Waller in his first match, SmackDown match, in I don't know how many years. So and at MSG too. So could be his last time ever wrestling at the world's most famous arena. Can't really think about what happened on Raw. Didn't Cody Rhodes hit a Cody Cutter on Brock Lesnar, I think?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was probably the highlight of the show.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else that happened. Did Becky Lynch get attacked by Trish? I think Trish was talking smack. They were talking smack to each other.
Yeah. I can't even remember what happened.
Yeah, I guess that's about it. I can't really think of anything else.
What happened on SmackDown? I didn't see SmackDown. It's on Friday.
Well, yeah. We just basically talked about it right now, you know, that You know, basically, Jey Uso is challenging Roman Reigns a title shot at SummerSlam, but Roman Reigns has not given a response yet, so we'll find out soon enough if they'll go toe-to-toe next month.
Anything else happened other than that?
Yeah, LA Knight, he took out, you know, all the male members of Hit Row, minus, of course, B-Fab. What else? Yeah, I think...
By the way, we haven't seen... Where's Lashley? We haven't seen Lashley in a while.
Yeah, I think Lashley popped up in a live event, like in a, you know, like a live event, a non-televised live event, not too long ago, maybe a few weeks ago, but other than that, he hasn't been on screen probably for like a month or two.
Yeah, I wonder if he has an injury or something.
Or maybe they're waiting for the moment to pop him up and maybe reform the Hurt Business.
Yeah, that could be a good idea.
Yeah, we'll see. Anything you'd like to say, Mac, before you head out?
Everyone have a great weekend, and check your local listings for my show, iMac, and come back here to check out Sports Urban Legend. It's Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
You're the man. Check out iMac. Check your local listings for his podcast. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And, of course, come back on July 29th for the return of this show. We're going to take a little break. And, you know, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for tuning in to this episode. And we shall see you on July 29th. So, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Romo. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Down the holiday road, holiday road.